EW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. 11 girls and their counselor remain missing in the flood that inundated their camp, Camp Mystic, and so many homes along the Guadalupe River in Texas. Andrew Tuld is leading the rescue and recovery in Kerr County, where most of the 70 confirmed deaths took place.
We are seeing devastation to homes, to property, to just about anything that you can imagine, and things that you would not think would should be along a riverbank are showing up all over the place.
Israel's prime minister is coming to the White House tomorrow. Without the ceasefire deal with Hamas, President Trump wants.
The last big sticking point is Hamas demanding kind of tighter, more concrete language on U.S. guarantees that the initial 60-day ceasefire will lead to an end of the war. And so far, the Israelis have yet to budge on that.
ABC's Inés de la Quintera. 40,000 people sang along as Ozzy Osbourne rocked for the last time, saying farewell at age 76. This is ABC News. Two contrasting opinions on the spending bill President Trump signed on the 4th. Stephen Miron, his chief economic advisor.
You're going to get more people investing in factories as a result of these tax benefits. More investment means more income. More income means more tax revenue.
Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers says that ignores a lot.
This is a risk that we don't need to run. And for what? To give $1 million a year to the top 0.1% while, in effect, sentencing 100,000 poor Americans to death over the next 10 years because they can't get access to necessary medical procedures, because they can't get driven to a hospital, because their family members can't get supported. This is just wrong.
Gas prices may get lower. This weekend, the nations of OPEC Plus agreed to boost production. The $9 toll drivers pay to enter lower Manhattan, congestion pricing is meeting revenue forecasts, says the governor who defied the White House to keep the toll going. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover rain coming to an end, and we'll see skies turning mostly sunny. Highs reaching the lower 70s. North to northeast winds a bit breezy. Overnight, mostly clear skies at upper 50s. On Monday, sunny skies, north winds, and near 80. Currently 71 degrees.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. And also joining me is my oldest son, Abe. Hey, Abe.
Hello, hello. I'm back.
You're back. This is 2 weeks in a row for you.
2 weeks in a row. It's been an exciting 2 weeks. It's been a lot of fun things that have happened.
It feels like there's always something going on.
Yeah. Right now. As we ever, what's going on as we're recording this right now? What are we kind of waiting on?
Oh my gosh. Well, we are recording on the Thursday before the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, the judgment came in from Wisconsin's Supreme Court about the 1849 criminal abortion ban, which is a case that I'm part of. My name mm-hmm. is actually on that initial judgment in circuit court. So we've been waiting for this for a very long time, and it came in our favor. So that was a victory, a huge victory for us yesterday. Yay, I know, but in the grand scheme of everything else that's happening in the world right now, and I'm sure by the time this airs, this is gonna be old news, but with Donald Trump's big, brutal bill on the horizon and all of the stuff that means for just regular people living in the world. I mean, we know that groceries are going to get more expensive and the cost of energy is going to get more expensive and healthcare, Abe.
It turns out when you run up a deficit and borrowing costs go up, no one can borrow except the federal government. It's never a good thing.
I know. And we keep hearing about Medicaid getting more Medicaid going away from so many people, but that's going to drive up healthcare costs across the board. Everybody is going to experience increased healthcare costs. It's not going to happen until fall when we're all looking at renewing our plans, but at that point it's going to get more expensive, and it's already prohibitively expensive for so many to get healthcare coverage. Mm-hmm. So I'm really worried about it. Really worried.
Yeah, so that's sort of the moment that we're in right now. What happened? So what happened yesterday? We did a little event. What was it?
This was so great. This is what our whole show is going to be about. It's questions. So you had this brilliant idea. You're kind of a Reddit guy. You spend a lot of time on Reddit.
I don't need to be insulted, but yeah.
There are a lot of different platforms out there. And Reddit is one that I haven't really participated in. Every once in a while, I stumble into like a series of questions, or I'm looking for an answer to something and somebody's got a stream of things out there. But you suggested that we do an AMA, which in my mind is the American Medical Association, but that's not what it means on Reddit, is it?
No. So the way Reddit works is essentially it is a bunch of different discussion boards that you can go to that have conversations about anything that you could care about. If you're into gardening, there's a discussion board where people from all over the world are talking about gardening and sharing new plants. And oh my God, look what I found at Walmart. This is a rare plant that suddenly is just widely available. But there's also these boards for like the state of Wisconsin. There's boards for city of Green Bay, Madison, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac has a board. So we decided to visit the r/Wisconsin board, which is the hub on Reddit for Wisconsinites. and Wisconsin News, and we decided to do a AMA, which means Ask Me Anything. So essentially, any user on the site can show up to the post that you make on that board and ask you questions, both deep, insightful, and really stupid. And we've got a nice mix of both today.
Yeah. And so you suggested that I put out there a few leading prompts. Mm-hmm. So I offered that I'm a sixth generation Wisconsinite. I'm a doctor. I'm a former congressional candidate. I'm a Packers owner. Mm-hmm. I'm a cyclist. And then we mentioned the show, and I offered to answer any questions about the state of healthcare, politics, whatever else comes to mind. And a lot of things came to mind for people. Things that usually when I'm talking about this kind of stuff, I expect people to ask a lot of questions about abortion in particular. And mm-hmm. I am happy to answer those questions. I'm happy to answer general questions about reproductive healthcare in general. We got a lot of questions about
I think that might have been the most, you know, when you enter a conversation and you are representing yourself as an abortion provider, I think there's a lot of anticipation of the questions that you're going to get asked and the sort of hostility, but we weren't expecting the most hostile questions to be about
being
an owner of the pack. There were a couple people who really didn't like calling yourself a Packers owner.
Yeah, I do though. I defended it.
In the letter we get in the mail, they say owner, right? They say it doesn't mean much. I get to attend a meeting.
I mean,
and then I get to have beer at Hinterland afterwards. The beer isn't free.
Right.
It's a really expensive ticket to my meeting.
Well, and one of the things that this is, I mean, I love the show and it's amazing, but I like interaction. So mm-hmm. I would love to be doing something live where people could just call in and leave questions or ask questions and we could answer them, you know, interactively. Mm-hmm. So this is a way that we were able to do that. But you're going to ask the questions the way that they were asked on Reddit, and then we'll just chat through it.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth saying that when we put this idea out there, we were anticipating, you know, I was anticipating 20 questions. We'll have 20 comments to respond to. Yeah, within 2 hours, we had 200 comments.
I'm on vacation, and you're like, no problem. You can just do whatever you want. Go wherever you want and just, you know, answer these questions on text. And I'm like, I was stuck for like 2 hours.
It was
because they were flooding in. There were so many questions. There are so many unanswered questions out there. And I think I was able to debunk some common myths, mm-hmm. which when it comes to reproductive health care in general, there are so many myths out there and so much misinformation. So that's one of my favorite things about my job is hearing what people have to say and actually helping them find real legitimate information. Because if you are not basing your healthcare decisions on legitimate information, you're going to go down the wrong path and it could frankly cost you your life.
Yeah. So do you want to just jump on in and start answering some of these questions?
Yeah. Hey, that's my eldest son, Abe Lyerly, public school teacher, also amazing host and wonderful question asker. Hit it.
Thank you. Thank
Abe.
Our first question might be the most insightful of the day. It comes from somebody named Yorkman2 on Reddit. Yorkman asks, why? And the context that we're missing for this is, you advertised this AMA as one of the people who worked to overturn this abortion ban, and why?
I didn't really. We put a lot of things out there, so the why, I was like, why I'm a Packer owner, why I ride my bike, why. Yeah, I was confused by that. So I guess the question that I'm going to answer, the beauty of this is that I can answer any question that I want.
So what was the importance of, why did this ban have to go? That's the question we should ask. Let's pretend that's the end.
I like that. Thank you for rephrasing. Why did this ban have to go? Because this ban prevented us from providing abortion care in Wisconsin. The only exception to this ban was to save the life of the mother. But that is a very poorly defined term. And it caused a lot of confusion. It created a lot of fear. And it necessitated a bunch of additional steps. So you had to get another doctor to sign off on it. And sometimes there just isn't another doctor. Like if somebody is actively dying and in your clinical judgment, you need to help them now and you're in a rural hospital and there's not another doctor there,
are you actually going to stop what you're doing in order to call somebody in to evaluate the patient so that they can sign off on your, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to save your patient's life. So it just made it really hard for us to take care of our patients. And you can't, and I say this all the time, you can't take abortion out of healthcare, whether we're talking about miscarriage management or infertility treatment or managing complicated pregnancies. All of those things have components of abortion care in them. And the last thing you want as a patient is for your doctor to have to stop and think, am I obeying the law when I'm providing the care that I've been trained to provide, that I know my patient needs, that I know is the right thing?
You would hope that the law would line up with best practice. You'd hope that the law would line up with, you know, what keeps people alive.
Why is the law even involved here? Like, the law isn't involved in management of prostate cancer. You know, like, it's amazing to me, the legal interference in our personal medical decisions, especially from the side of the aisle that wants less government, but they want more government in your personal medical decisions. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all. So this needed to be repealed in order for us to be able to provide care for our patients. That was critical. And there's a whole cascade of other stuff that goes along with that, including recruiting doctors and other healthcare providers to Wisconsin so that they feel comfortable practicing here, encouraging young families to live in Wisconsin, to open small businesses, to make Wisconsin their home because they know that they're going to get the healthcare that they need. That has a huge economic advantage as well. So all of the whole cascade of stuff that comes from being able to ensure that you can get the healthcare that you need is the reason that we had to repeal this ban.
Yeah. For what it's worth, Yorkman did respond to your, you left him a multi-paragraph. He left you Y with no punctuation or capitalization. You responded with multiple paragraphs, to which he responded, "Sounds about right." I think you've convinced him.
was this my problem in this format? I left too many words.
All right. Before we hit our break, I got two more questions for you.
Okay.
From Bidoof 2017, can you explain what exactly this ruling means for the women of Wisconsin? And we might have to push this answer a little bit back.
I mean, we can definitely start this answer, though. Yeah. So I just can't say it in like one sentence or incomplete sentence. It's impossible. So what it means is that although we were able to restore abortion care in Madison and Milwaukee and somewhat in Sheboygan, the whole rest of the state in general is not offering abortion care. Hospitals have been reluctant to start providing care again. Doctors are still confused. They're waiting for that final judgment. And that final judgment is what came with the Supreme Court's ruling that the 1849 ban does not apply. So now that hospitals and providers are going to be able to resume care, we hope that they will. There's a lot of red tape there. There still will be fear and confusion. So there will be more education that'll be necessary, more communication. Mm-hmm. And that all fits into the whole culture piece too, right? We have to talk about these things and make it okay to get screened for sexually transmitted infections and obtain birth control and encourage people to seek prenatal care. There are a lot of women who don't get prenatal care until late in the pregnancy for many complicated reasons. So we've got to make it culturally appropriate for people to get the healthcare that they need. Then they'll have better outcomes and we'll just be stronger as a society, as a community.
So what I'm hearing is that there's still a lot of work to go, but this is a huge step in the right direction.
It's a huge step in the right direction. It's so important. And my colleagues who have been just trying to hold the line in Wisconsin, and they've been wondering, can they continue to stay here and practice? We've been waiting for this judgment. And I know that for a lot of my colleagues and friends, they're thinking, okay, Wisconsin is moving in the right direction where I am going to be able to take care of my patients, where people can get the care that they need. So I think it's a really positive thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
That's, yeah.
These are two good questions to start with. Why?
Why?
All right. So we are doing listener questions with my oldest son, Abraham Lyerly, public school teacher. And we're going to come back after this break and answer even more fascinating questions, including biking and cheese curds and maybe even beer. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Have you ever wanted to be a big? It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And if you've ever been interested in being a big brother or big sister, enrollment day is here, Tuesday, July 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. In just 2 hours and a few slices of pizza, you'll be walked through an orientation, interview, and background check process where at the end, you could be a big and part of the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Wisconsin. Register now by going to WGBW.FM and clicking events.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee on June 7th presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's independence resolution word for word. Resolved that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, joined by my oldest son, Abe, and we are answering community questions today. We did an AMA on Reddit yesterday and got a lot of fascinating questions. So before we jump back into those, though, it's music segment explanation time. Today, I chose Reyna. Have you heard of them? They're from Milwaukee.
I haven't heard of them. I've been trying to get out more, but I have not seen them around Summerfest. I haven't seen them around the bar scene. Where can I find them?
Well, they are going to be in Madison and Milwaukee and at Mile of Music, which is coming up soon in Appleton.
You got to get down to Mile of Music. Got to get down or up if you're listening in Milwaukee or Madison. It is so much fun. It is so much fun. I just got back from Austin, Texas. It kind of turns Appleton into like a 6th Street sort of just like something magical about just being able to walk up down the street and hear live music.
Yeah. And there's so much of it in the summer and like more and more, you know, Green Bay has outdoor festivals. It's everywhere you turn around on a beautiful summer evening, there is live music. And this is one of the best. Their sisters, Victoria and Hannah Gabriela Benuelos, they are of Mexican heritage. They sing proudly about that in their music and it's really catchy and fun. So check them out. Reyna. All right, Abe.
All right. You ready for insightful questions?
I'm ready.
This is one of the most divisive questions we got asked. This is from Blackhawk Blake. Do you prefer beer battered or deep fried cheese curds?
Yes. I prefer cheese curds. I don't really care. You know my favorite way to eat cheese curds? Have you been to Scray Hill?
I have been to Scray Hill. I'm going to take a moment and ask a question to anyone who's listening right now. I'm trying to find good cheese curds in Milwaukee and I can't do it. Nothing in the city limits. I've been looking for 2 years now. Green Bay has Scray's Hill. Out west, they've got I can't even remember the name of it. It's the cheese curd place.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Listeners, help.
Oh, no. What's it called?
We'll think of it. We'll think of it.
It doesn't matter.
Todd, find the cheese curds place for us. No, my favorite way to eat cheese curds is to go to Scray, and they've just got them sitting there on the counter. And they just came out of the room next door where they're making the curds. And you open up the bag, you get into the car and you open up the bag. They even have a drive-through window. And they're just squeaky and warm and beautiful and flavorful and amazing.
I spent a summer in Minnesota a couple years ago. And I remember distinctly crossing back over into Wisconsin, stopping at a gas station and immediately seeing a bag of fresh cheese curds on like right up at the front. And I just felt like I'm home. I'm back.
You know, when your brother traveled to Japan, one of his friends asked him to bring cheese. And so he went to the grocery store and he was like, well, what's a special cheese? And he's standing there at like Pick and Save looking at the cheese display, which is like, it's a lot. It's prolific.
Which of the five cheese displays?
Yeah, I know. There's just cheese everywhere. And I said, you know, here in Wisconsin, we don't really realize the abundance of different options we have when it comes to cheese. Just pick five cheeses. No matter what you take, like don't take something that's going to spoil it during your trip. But, you know, just pick some things.
All of them will be good. All of them will be good,
especially in Japan, because I don't know that Japan is necessarily known for cheese. I could be wrong.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. That would be a question for him. But
I do love a good fried cheese curd, beer battered, whatever, Culver's, it doesn't matter. I just love cheese curds. Yum.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Back to something a little bit more serious. Okay. ISO Kingdom 2 asks, did your attorneys represent you pro bono? What did that look like? Sort of figuring out, because I know that from an average perspective, lawyer fees always just seem so incredibly prohibitive. So seeing these massive movements, it's always like, where is that coming from?
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of support. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, you know, necessary. Like I can't do that on my own. I do not have big, deep pockets. You know, I'm just I may be a doctor, but I am not from, as you know, Abe, I do not have those kinds of means. So yeah, I have had a lot of support. And you know, without that, there's no way that we would have been able to achieve what we've been able to achieve. So yeah, really lucky. Yeah.
So thank you to the organizations that helped. And thank you to the people who donate to those organizations and put in time with those organizations to make this happen.
Yeah. And there are other organizations out there doing similar work in different arenas. So for example, Fair Maps, that was another thing where when people stepped up in whatever the suit was in order to get Fair Maps in Wisconsin, you know, they didn't pay out of their pocket either. There are organizations that help to pay for those things as well. So it's just, it's a combo of everybody coming together. I love that whole working together. It's not just one person who has a lot of resources. It's like everybody working together for the common good.
All right. Last question before our break. Okay. How does it feel to have won this battle?
I'm on vacation right now, and there's been
I was going to say, your Brewers hat looks a little weird.
I know. I'm wearing a Boston Red Sox hat that I got at Fenway last night. I'm trying to take in. There's just so much happening, so I don't know that it's necessarily really sunk in yet. And it's been drifting out there for a long time. You know, we've been waiting. The arguments were heard last fall, so I don't know that it's really sunk in yet. And it's not like this is a sea change. Like things don't change super fast. So it is a step in the right direction, but there are so many other steps that we have to take in order to get where we need to be. And we're seeing other pressures on different levels, especially the federal level, that will make it harder for people to access care. So it feels good and I'm really happy and we need all the little victories that we can get, but there's a much bigger fight on the horizon and, you know, got to keep working.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, this is fun. I'm glad we're doing this. All right. So it's me and Abe, my oldest son, and we are doing questions from our Reddit AMA yesterday after we discovered that Wisconsin's Supreme Court came in with a positive judgment on the 1849 criminal abortion ban. So we'll pick that back up after the break. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WISS, WGBW, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. 11 girls and their counselor remain missing in the flood that inundated their camp, Camp Mystic, and so many homes along the Guadalupe River in Texas. Andrew Tuld is leading the rescue and recovery in Kerr County, where most of the 70 confirmed deaths took place.
We are seeing devastation to homes, to property, to just about anything that you can imagine, and things that you would not think would should be along a riverbank are showing up all over the place.
Israel's prime minister is coming to the White House tomorrow without the ceasefire deal with Hamas President Trump wants.
The last big sticking point is Hamas demanding kind of tighter, more concrete language on U.S. guarantees that the initial 60-day ceasefire will lead to an end of the war. And so far, the Israelis have yet to budge on that.
ABC's Inés de la Quintera. 40,000 people sang along as Ozzy Osbourne rocked for the last time, saying farewell at age 76. This is ABC News.
A comeback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, game three of the Brewers and Marlins series today. And back on the mound for Milwaukee is veteran right-hander Brandon Woodruff. It's been nearly 2 years since September of 2023 that he started a major league game, his last game in Miami. Woodruff back after surgery and setbacks in his throwing arm. Today's game, a rubber match, the Brewers losing to the Marlins yesterday, 4-2. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
Yeah, we had some opportunities today and didn't do it. Didn't get the big hit at the big time. Put some pressure on him, got the starter out of there. Credit goes to the Marlins. They're scrappy. They play hard. We didn't do enough. It's hard to win a major league game. You got to stay after it. You got to get big hits. You got to perform with the men on third and one out. We didn't.
Brewers first baseman Reese Hoskins had to leave that game with an injured left thumb, giving him a hard time holding a bat. Murphy says it could be at least a few days before Hoskins returns. The Brewers host the Dodgers tomorrow night. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover rain coming to an end, and we'll see skies turning mostly sunny. Highs reaching the lower 70s. North to northeast winds a bit breezy. Overnight, mostly clear skies at upper 50s. On Monday, sunny skies, north winds, and near 80. Currently 71 degrees.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Down in Mexico, the sun shines. Exactly what the doctor prescribed.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, joined by my oldest son, Abe. Are you there? Are you muted?
I am muted. Thank you for catching that. Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
Don't make me do this by myself. You have all the questions. We're talking about, we did an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, on Reddit, and we just left it wide open. We talked a lot about healthcare and politics, but also, you know, just whatever Wisconsin stuff. I did come up with, I quickly Googled Ellsworth.
Ellsworth. I can't believe I forgot that.
Uh-huh. The famous cheese curd from Western Wisconsin. But, you know, I'm an Eastern Wisconsin gal, and I'm pretty loyal to Scray.
Scray, I think in terms of small batches, Scray's got them beat. But Ellsworth just ships everywhere, and they've put out a really good product that you can, like, get out of Cisco trucks. They're a restaurant cheese curd, and they're really good at that.
Yeah.
Each has their own role, you know?
That is very true.
If you're somebody from Ellsworth, like, no, it's actually really good. Get it. Just don't live over there. Don't have that experience.
Listen, curds for everybody. Just pick your favorite curd and eat it. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, hit me. Give me another question.
All right. I got a question from Flying Squirrel. Can you describe how you became the named plaintiff on this case? I know very little about the process behind this. I also know very little about the process. How did you end up? Because there are three different plaintiffs in this case. How did you end up as, I believe, the only named plaintiff?
Mm-hmm. So there are three, we're three plaintiffs. We're plaintiff interveners. So three physicians got involved in order to provide standing because our practices were directly impacted by this ban. Dr. Chris Ford, who's an emergency medicine physician in Milwaukee, Dr. Jennifer Jury McIntosh, she's a high-risk pregnancy doctor, also in Milwaukee, and me, we were the plaintiff interveners. My name ended up on the judgment because Dr. McIntosh and Dr. Ford are both in Milwaukee, where the district attorney said that he would not prosecute this law. But I had worked in Sheboygan, and attorney Ermansky was very clear in his eagerness to prosecute this law. So it ended up, and he had said in court papers that this really was between the two of us. So that's why my name ended up being on that initial judgment in circuit court in Dane County. And then it was that the court system is confusing to me. So this is my understanding. After that initial judgment came back, there is another layer. There's an appellate court that it could have gone to, but both parties agreed to take it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And that's how the Supreme Court ended up hearing it yesterday, or ended up hearing it last fall. And then the judgment came back just yesterday.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for filling us in on that.
Yeah.
Narrow Echo asks, I'm a healthcare professional in central Wisconsin. Thanks to various corporate mergers and consolidations, I've been laid off three times since 2008. Mm-hmm. The job I have now is probably my last, and I don't know if I'll make it to retirement. I could prolong my career by moving to Milwaukee or Madison, but I'm a farm boy, not a city boy. I can't help but look at the state of healthcare in the northern part of the state and wonder what the future holds for us. How can the Northwoods community survive when the government continues to defund institutions and drain our resources? And before you answer, does that in any way tie in to what you just said, that people who were practicing in Milwaukee had a friendly DA and were able to provide a full scope of healthcare? Whereas, and I don't mean to call Sheboygan rural because it's not, but more it's rural smaller. Counties. It's smaller, and more rural counties seem to be cracking down on scope of care.
Yeah, it's more conservative. And we need doctors and nurses and healthcare providers in these more rural areas in the worst way. We have a hard time recruiting to rural areas because, I mean, think about it. When you're in training and you're in an urban setting, like a high resource setting, you've got everything you need around you. You've got backup, you've got additional people with additional skills. So when I trained as a resident in Madison, if I ran into a problem that was out of my scope of practice, I could call the GYN oncologist and say, hey, I need help here. And they were there because there was somebody who was just a few minutes away at all times, probably even still in the hospital. If I'm up in Hayward, it is a totally different situation. I'm the only doctor up there, and you never know what's going to come through the door. It could be somebody who is like actively dying, so you may not have another pair of hands to help out. That's really intimidating for somebody who is trained in that high resource center. It's a very different way of practicing medicine. And for people who are comfortable practicing in that setting, we need to encourage them to stay there and live where they want to stay and take care of the people who need that care in the worst way. And I also need to mention that people who in those more rural areas, our population is more elderly, they have more contact with care, and they are less likely to be providers of care. So we need more resources up there, not fewer. But we don't do a good job as a medical community, as hospital systems, of retaining and recruiting people to practice in these areas. So this is a huge problem. And it's one that I'm actively working on, amongst other things. But it's going to take a lot of changes on a lot of different levels, including corporate medicine. Corporate medicine is going to have to get on board with recognizing and trying to solve this problem.
It's not just going to be a court fight.
That's right.
Take home an easy win. It seems like a long process.
It is. Hey, that's the voice of Abe Lyerly, my oldest son. We are talking about an AMA and Ask Me Anything we did on Reddit just yesterday. And we really left it wide open. Healthcare, politics, biking, the Green Bay Packers, cheese curds. And the questions that we got from our community were, first of all, way more than we expected. And it was a really engaging conversation that I enjoyed. So thank you for making that happen, Abe, and for bringing this idea to fruition.
It's a group of people over there that has been clamoring for something like this for a while. It's always good, especially in this moment in time where it's so hard to get an elected official to pick up the phone show their face in your district that they live in, you know, to leave their house, to leave the party headquarters.
I just truly do not understand why it's so hard to talk to people and answer their questions. Like, I know that, like, what are you trying to avoid?
Because they don't have answers.
They don't have answers, and people need answers right now. So it was a joy for me to do it. It was a lot. Like, I'm on vacation, so I didn't necessarily want to take time to do it.
We did say, as I pitched it to her, we were going to do this, and it was going to be 20 questions over the course of 8 hours. And within the first 2 hours, we were up to 200 questions.
But I loved it. As we were doing it, the more questions that came in, the more I thought, oh, these are amazing questions that need to be answered. So I think it's a privilege for me to be able to do that. So
speaking of, I do have a question that follows up from our last one. This is from Anti Muskrat. I've read interviews with medical students and practicing OBGYNs who say that they won't practice in and will leave states that ban abortion. It seems inevitable that this will eventually lead to shortages of that specialty in those states. Would you advise those students and physicians to stay in those states to prevent shortages, even knowing that current laws could lead to an adverse patient outcomes? Or would you encourage them to move to states that do allow it?
We know that this is happening. We have data out of Wisconsin that has shown 2 years in a row. So it's not quite a trend yet, but we know that the applications in Wisconsin are down because students feel like they're not going to get comprehensive training. And they feel like their training is going to be compromised and they're not going to be able to provide full scope care in the future.
It's difficult to look at a training program and be like, I would like to choose the one that trains me less and makes me less marketable.
Right.
Can I please be less professional than the other ones and pay more for the price, for the privilege of being less trained?
Yes. So I think it's such a personal choice about where you want to be, where you feel comfortable. Like for me, I want to practice in Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin. I'm six generations deep in Wisconsin. And the people who I take care of, you know, in the exam room, people are not thinking about what would a politician want me to do given my circumstances. They're thinking about what are my options so I can make my best decision for myself. Mm-hmm. And I've taken care of plenty of people who have said, I mean, abortion care, infertility care, all of those things, who have come in and said, philosophically, this is where I stood before. And now I'm in this situation and I need different help than I thought mm-hmm. I was going to need or that I believed in at the time. And, you know, they change their minds when it's actually them. So mm-hmm. I know that there are many, many people in Wisconsin who need the kind of care that they may philosophically not be in support of.
Yeah.
And to me, to be able to provide that care and be that accepting physician and community member who says, I understand, and I'm here for you. I want what's best for you. And, you know, we're all evolving. That's all part of it for me. There are other people, though, like I just was in Vermont at the OBGYN graduation ceremony and talking with some of the Vermonters, because it's such a blue state, they don't have to worry about any of those restrictions. I mean, abortion is codified in their constitution. So they're not afraid of any of it. And it was amazing to me how freely they discussed some of these topics. And mm-hmm. it helped me recognize how different my approach has to be as a physician working in the environment where I work. Even in Minnesota, where I am currently practicing, it's different there than it is in a place like Vermont. So, you know, I don't think that your zip code should define the care that you get. I think you should get excellent care regardless of where you live. And that means removing these political barriers and making sure that people can get access to healthcare.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And mm-hmm. following up with another similarly themed question, Ben Gibbard's Tooth Pain asks,
these names.
they really let you just swing for the fences with these. What can we do message-wise? This is a serious question. What can we do message-wise to reduce the stigma around clinics that offer preventative care in addition to abortion care? Politicians love to demonize Planned Parenthood and force the narrative that they are primarily an abortion clinic when they do so much more than that. And just next door in Iowa and Minnesota, several Planned Parenthood clinics are slated to close, mm-hmm. leaving people without needed care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how can we message around that? How can we make it clear that this is not, you're not fighting abortion, you're fighting routine medical care?
It's true. One of my friends actually runs those clinics. She's the chief medical officer in the Minnesota, Iowa area. This is profoundly bad for people who live there, because most of what Planned Parenthood does in these places is not abortion care. Mm-hmm. It's screening for sexually transmitted infections. It's helping people get access to the birth control that's going to work for them. It's cancer screening. It's so much more. But because of the politicization of women's health care, we just have this different idea. I mean, the clinic, the Planned Parenthood clinic in Green Bay, does not provide abortion care. We don't have an abortion clinic in Green Bay. But there are protesters out there almost every single day. And I'll tell you, Abe, people who go to the Catholic high school in Green Bay get National Honor Society philanthropy points for going to protest Planned Parenthood. Not kidding. Yeah, it's a real
ridiculous thing.
So we've got to change the culture. I know. We've got to change the culture, because there are many, many people who get their routine care at Planned Parenthood and other similar clinics. It's not abortion care. It is routine health care. And if the big, beautiful bill passes and the funding for these clinics goes away, their access to health care goes away. And that means that they don't get things like birth control. I mean, what happens then?
No one wants to answer that one.
Right? So, yeah, I know. So it's not just, I mean, legislation's a big piece of it, but we've got to change the culture around women's health care. And that means that we've got to continue to have these kinds of conversations like we're having right now. So thank you for listening. Thank you for asking these. We've got one more segment and we've got a couple very important
topics
to
cover. Some good ones coming up. Yeah. I'm telling you, 200 questions.
Uh-huh. Here we go. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WGBW, WISS, and streaming on the Civic Media app. Hey,
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, joined by my oldest son, Abe.
Hello, hello. Unmuted this time.
Good work. You're getting the hang of this.
I'm figuring out how this works.
If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always find me here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app and wherever you get your podcasts, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, Abe, we're talking questions. We did that AMA yesterday, Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And we got lots of questions about lots
of things. It was incredibly successful. We have a couple hundred questions that we're filtering through, and we're bringing you only the most important ones. So what's your favorite color?
I just said green. I wanted to say lots of colors because it kind of is like a mood thing for me.
And that's fair.
Just said green.
You know, of all the important questions that got asked, I think you can kind of shoot from the hip. What's your favorite color? She's not being authentic. She didn't give the right color. She's flip-flopping on her favorite colors. So it's emotional. Unbelievable.
I'm so emotional, baby.
But we actually got so many questions in the middle of your vacation that at one point you had to drop a comment that said, I'm taking a little break to grab a beer on my way to a baseball game. Feel free to leave more comments. I'll respond. What sort of beer did you get and who won the game?
We were going to Fenway. We're in Boston. I got some sort of a hazy IPA, which is like my standard go-to. It was quite tasty. And the Red Sox did not win. I know.
I don't know if I should feel happy or sad about that.
The ballpark, I don't really care, like whatever, but the ballpark was really cool. It has a very Lambeau kind of feel, like the old Lambeau kind of feel. We got to go on top of the Green Monster, which was pretty cool. Everybody
That's
was super nice. We sang Buttercup. It was fun.
yeah, it's just good to be in a crowd sometimes.
It's
Sporting events are just fun.
Yes, and their Buttercup is not like our Buttercup. Our Buttercup,
Exactly.
our Badger Buttercup is way better.
I believe it. I believe it. Camp Randall does just, there's something about the energy in there and maybe where it comes from and the substances that provide it, but that's just, it's a very fun game day experience.
It is.
I
All
have,
right, hit
yeah,
me.
I've got another question for you. This is from Bourbon Planner. Do you find it ironic that this ruling essentially means Scott Walker's 2015 bill ends up, in some ways, protecting abortion rights in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I had to think about that because, yes, it's true. So Scott Walker had a bill that is law that bans abortion after 20 weeks post-fertilization age, which is not a medical term. It's actually a very dubious time. So that is a law on the books. And the Supreme Court said all these other laws have been passed, so all of these other laws negate this 1849 law. That was essentially the guts of the
Gotcha.
ruling. So yeah, I mean, in a way, it is, but that's such a terrible law. And here's why.
I know he's getting credit for it.
I know, it's just,
He doesn't deserve the credit. Don't give it to him.
it's a weird space. So people, if you've been through a pregnancy before, you know that it is standard to get an ultrasound right around 20 weeks. And at that 20-week ultrasound, sometimes you find structural things about the fetus that are not compatible with life or are otherwise very complicated. Sometimes, like babies don't have brains, for example, anencephaly. This completely changes how you approach a wanted pregnancy, and families need time to deal with this information and to figure out what their resources are and to make a plan moving forward. And if there's a ban at 20 weeks, it gives families no time. It essentially is like, oh, we found this problem and we need to deal with it right now. So that's why this is a bad piece of legislation. Most of these abortions that occur later in pregnancy like this are very complicated, and just this is a terrible way to a terrible situation for families. So, yeah, I mean, ironically, it is a weird situation with this whole Scott Walker thing, but yeah.
We don't have to give him credit.
No.
We can appreciate the irony.
Yeah.
Do you have any family members who are staunchly anti-abortion? And if so, how do you handle that? Do you
Nope.
just avoid the subject? This is from Bug's Eye 26.
I don't.
Nope.
No, everybody pretty
Pretty
much
much,
knows
yeah.
how I feel. So it's not a complicated conversation
Does
in
that
my
mean that
family.
you don't have any family members that are anti-abortion, or that the ones that are just like, I'm not gonna try this with you.
You tell me, you're
I'm
my family
not.
member.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm
All
willing
right.
to have the conversation. I'm not afraid of a hard conversation.
Yeah.
Let's keep having hard conversations and easy ones. Let's just keep talking because it's so important that we keep talking.
Speaking of family members, will we see you at Race the Lake? And if elected in the future, will you work to make chip seal roads a capital offense, as they rightly should be? I think we have a cyclist. I think we
Yes.
got a cyclist asking questions.
Race the Lake is a blast. It goes around Lake Winnebago. I love Race the Lake because your ancestors, Abe, you are a seventh generation Wisconsinite. And on the eastern side of Lake Winnebago, that's the Holy Land, you know, Mount Calvary and St. Cloud, Charlesburg, the town named after your great, 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 great grandfather. So, like, that's my homeland over there. So I love to ride my bike through all of that beautiful farmland. It just feels like home. So I love Race the Lake. The problem with Race the Lake is I'm not actually that fast on my bike. And you
It's if it was bike the lake, it would be the easiest, but race
casually
the lake is
ride the
hard.
lake, right?
Spin around.
You know, he brought up a good topic though, like the chip seal. I don't know. Is that a good way to take care of roads? Is it economical? I don't love it on my bike, but there must be a reason that they use it. So it got me interested in road repair.
Got me interested in learning some more. I've got one last question for you today. This comes from Sudden Badger, who asks, "Do you have any hope?"
I do. I really do. I have hope because I know my people. I know Wisconsinites. And I know that we're going to work together. Like, that is our great tradition, our progressive tradition. We work together and we make good things happen for ourselves and for each other. So, yeah, I absolutely have hope.
All right. Keep believing, Sudden Badger.
Yeah, baby. All right. Thank you all for joining us. If you missed any part of the show, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley on behalf of me and Abe. And we'll see you next week.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
From ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Up to 10 more inches of rain could fall today in Texas, potentially slowing the race against time to find 11 campers who are still unaccounted for as a flood swept away a Christian camp as girl campers were in their bunks. The National Weather Service did put out a flood warning, but Camp Mystic had very limited cell service. As the search for the missing continues, the Kirk County Sheriff says the grim task of counting bodies has brought them to 70 people killed across Texas, including Kerr County. A tropical rainstorm now bringing flash flood warnings to North Carolina. More than 150 people have been rescued in what has been some terrible weather off of California.
A lot of water that moves to shore and it finds the path of least resistance. And we were looking at rip currents that were hundreds of yards offshore, pulling water into that deep section.
Lifeguard Trevor McDonald. This is ABC News. Tax cuts signed into law by President Trump on the 4th of July may